That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Irirangi Pōhō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
So first off, Jack went out and got the opinion of Aucklanders on the economy and work.
What are your thoughts on New Zealand's economy at the moment?
Well, I think that New Zealand economy is what people make it out to be. Okay, if you just sit on your ass and expect the money to come to you, it's not going to come to you. I mean, there's work out there. You just got to go and find it. And what you do is when you find something, you don't settle for just that one little job. You always strive to get something better.
Well, I do a Bachelor of Commerce, so I like to call that the employable degree.
Yeah. What kind of job would be left in 20 years' time?
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of office jobs doing a lot of admin stuff. I doubt there'll be less handiwork.
Have you seen those videos of robots like building buildings and stuff like that?
Yeah, and even like robots just in people's houses just doing household chores. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Don't just think it's going to come to you. You have to go out and get it. A lot of people think, oh, there's no jobs out there. Oh, I've put in 20 applications. Well, if you've put in 20 applications and if you've been turned down 20 times, why don't you try a different approach, a different job? If you put in 20 applications for like restaurant and you can't get in the restaurant, try something else. Mm-hmm. There's always work. You just have to go out and get it. I don't care if you have to pick apples. I don't care if you have to sell encyclopedias. I don't care if you have to go door to door and sell vacuum cleaners. There is work out there.
I think a lot of the kind of corporate jobs that are like middle management stuff, a lot of shit that you just do, like basic Excel work, that's all going to be automated out pretty much in the next like couple decades.
Do you think you're going to have a job in 20 years' time?
In 20 years' time, I definitely think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think your job will be? What kind of, like, work will the future hold?
I'm studying engineering right now, so hopefully something related to technology.
What about universal basic income, though?
I read about that in a newspaper. Man, I mean,
I don't think that would suit a lot of people. There would be a lot of uproar. I don't think people were happy with that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they be happy with that?
Because people work hard, so they want to be rewarded for the hard work they do. And then some people wouldn't be working at all, and then they'd be given the same that the people are working hard for. It doesn't really seem fair.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they just want to sit on their ass, and they want to collect the you-know-what money. Now, as we know, if the government is going to say, here you go, people are just going to take it, right? And that's just how it is. But I want everybody to know, I came here in 1991, right? And I've been cleaning windows for a very long time. And I love my job. I'm a commercial window cleaner. This is what I do. I love my job. And don't think that there's no work out there, people. The work is out there.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
Welcome back to The Wire. Yes, indeed. So that's the people of Auckland giving their thoughts on the economy and the future of the work. Now, what do you have, Mac?
Well, to talk a little bit more to our economists and what they make of the economy, Dr. Eric Crampton is the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative and co-author of The Case for Economic Growth. And I spoke to him earlier this morning about the state of things here in New Zealand, as well as the issues of employment and taxes in the lead up to the election.
New Zealand is in good stead internationally speaking. The economy is performing relatively well. A lot of other countries are facing structural government deficits and are having to face austerity. New Zealand's doing well. We don't have big structural deficits. In fact, we're looking at surpluses with potential for more spending to come then, or tax breaks depending on which party ends up leading government after the election. On the downside, we've had a substantial housing crisis that's emerged in Auckland. National has had 9 years to deal with that. They have not dealt with it successfully, and that's causing macroeconomic problems for the country as a whole. So in addition to the obvious problems in Auckland, the Reserve Bank has had to keep interest rates higher than they otherwise would be to try and avoid having house prices blow out even further. This has had consequences for the real economy and the rest of the country.
And is that really a kind of a ticking time bomb in some way? I mean, are we going to have to address that, and is that going to hit the economy when eventually we do?
Well, National has finally put in place some measures to reform infrastructure financing. So there are now new bond programs out that will allow infrastructure to be put in. The barrier to Auckland's housing affordability has been getting the infrastructure laid out that would let council zone more liberally for more density and for more expansion into the suburbs. That hasn't been happening because of council's debt constraints. The new policy that's come in for infrastructure financing should start to ease things back, but it'll take a couple of years for that to get going, and National really should have done that 5 or 6 years ago. Now it's, they've put it in too late to be able to really see any of the benefits of it in this electoral term.
And if we can move to another issue around the economy, I mean, when we're looking at jobs, National likes to laud the fact that, you know, we have very low rates of unemployment compared to where we were, you know, a few years ago. But there's been a lot of research around the fact that there's high rates of Kiwis not in stable full-time work. So, I mean, is that a concern where you know, the wider society is kind of going?
The New Zealand job market has been performing very well. So we should look beyond just the unemployment rate, but also at labor force participation rates. So the unemployment rate is always the proportion of people who want to be in work who aren't able to find work. And you can have high unemployment rates when you have people coming out of long spells not being involved in work and then starting to look for work. They'll show up in the unemployment rate, but that can be a sign of a healthy economy if you've had a growing labor force participation rate, growing employment rates, which would be the number of people who are employed as a fraction of everybody, and sometimes that will have a higher unemployment rate associated with it. If you look at labor force participation rates and employment rates, more Kiwis are in work now than, well, we're at historic highs. If you look back through the data going through the mid-80s when all of this started, or the consistent data series started, more people are in work, or a greater proportion of people are in work, and more people are participating in the labor force. So in some ways, it's almost surprising that the unemployment rate isn't higher than it currently is. We've had a lot of people come in terms of migration, and we've had a lot of people that have been pushed into work requirements and job testing in benefits. So people who previously wouldn't have been in the labor force at all are now involved in the labor force because they have to be, and they'll either be showing up as employed or unemployed. So it's a bit surprising that the unemployment rate is as low as it is. If we look towards underemployment, so that'll be defined by Statistics New Zealand as people who are trying to find more hours, if they're in part-time work, trying to get more hours to bring it up to full-time or more intensive part-time work, the underemployment rate is just not that high. In 2005, it was about 3%. Now it's about 4%, and it's been hovering around 4% since about 2010. So there hasn't been any big surge in underemployment. There'll always be some people who are trying to get more hours, but I don't really see any particular evidence of there being any new problems there.
Another big issue seems to be taxes. So whether it's taxes on water bottling or on farmers using irrigation or on tourists coming into the country or on multinational companies that are not allegedly not paying their taxes. So, I mean, is there a lot of money to be distributed into the economy potentially if all these taxes are put in force?
So since 2010, National hasn't adjusted the tax thresholds, even though inflation rates have increased. So you'll see government spending often increases with inflation to try and keep real spending by each of the different government departments, keeping track with changes in prices. But inflation also hits tax brackets. So if you're earning more than $70,000 a year, you're on the top income tax bracket. But inflation has pushed more and more people into that top tax bracket, and those brackets haven't been adjusted. So National has proposed if it's re-elected, that it would adjust the tax brackets partially for inflation. They would only be doing it for the lower tax brackets. They wouldn't be adjusting the top one. Doing that would cost the government some money relative to what it otherwise would have made, but it's only partially compensating taxpayers for the effects of fiscal drag or inflation since the 2010 tax changes. What might happen with water taxes and the like is kind of anybody's guess. We don't know how those would be implemented yet. On water taxes, we don't know how much might be raised by them. I doubt that it would be substantive relative to the overall government budget, but more importantly, we need to think about whether that's the best way of managing our water resources. So right now, Labour has very rightly pointed to problems where you can extract water, bottle it, and ship it overseas, paying no royalty to the government, where if you were extracting oil, you'd be providing a royalty payment to the government. If you're mining, you'd be providing a royalty payment to the government. Water doesn't attract that. But managing water resources is a little bit different. It's a renewable resource, and we have to be thinking more about water management rather than just a tax regime. Some catchments will be overallocated, where we need to reduce the amount of water that's taken from it. Other catchments aren't. So tax is then a pretty blunt way of trying to deal with that, because the right tax would vary a lot depending on where you're drawing water from. For that reason, I really prefer moving towards a water trading regime that would look a little bit more like the fisheries quota regime, where you set the total amount that could be extracted from a catchment and then let farmers or other people with water drawing rights trade to make sure that the overall amount that's extracted still allows for plenty to be in the rivers, and people who value water more would be able to extract it.
And what about these kind of multinational companies? Do you think, I mean, obviously, with there have been a few changes that have come in the light of all that's been revealed there. Do you think there's more on the horizon?
I think that New Zealand is in participation with many other OECD countries looking at the appropriate ways of taxing companies that have operations across several countries. So the key point there is to make sure that companies that operate across multiple countries are paying tax appropriately across the set of them. It's something that New Zealand simply can't do on its own, or if it tried, it would probably make a mess of things. It's something that has to be addressed multinationally or multilaterally among all the different OECD countries. I would be surprised if we had big shakes in terms of increased tax revenues once that were sorted. So if we think about a lot of the companies that are operating here and perhaps aren't paying that much in tax to the New Zealand government, imagine instead that they were, instead of being a multinational company, they were the local a local company that were paying for the rights to use a foreign company's IP. So instead of having Google operating in New Zealand, there would be some New Zealand company that was paying for access to all of Google's apparatus in the U.S. Or instead of Facebook being in New Zealand, there was some local version of Facebook, and they were having to pay for rights to the parent company in the United States. In any of those cases, the local profits wouldn't be that high, because most of the value that's provided is really from the IP that's based overseas. And that's really where the tax would end up being paid in any of these multilateral agreements. The tax revenue should flow from where the profits are really being generated, and that's really coming from that IP development, which mostly isn't here.
Irirangi Pōhō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.